Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, the co-host. And Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Very good. Today, I want to visit with you and talk about a speech that Jeff Sessions gave yesterday to the National District Attorneys Association, which is rather outrageous when you think about it. But we shouldn't be totally surprised because we knew he was a war hawk on drug, very dedicated drug warrior.
Yeah.
And total disrespect for civil liberties. And to me, it's sort of sad because if anything, you know, if you were looking for the most positive thing that happened in the Obama administration, it might be the fact that he was against these mandatory sentences and changing our attitude toward war on drugs, and there was a bipartisan coalition and some legislation that they were trying to put together. It's all been canceled out with the new administration. But to me, it's also discouraging because, you know, generally speaking, we've looked for the things that we can champion in the new administration, but every day I get a little bit more discouraged because when I look at economic matters, we find that Gary Kahn and Mnuchin, you know, are in charge, and, you know, we have a lot of protectionism going on, and spending's going up, and taxes haven't gone down yet, and on and on. The stock market's doing great, but anyway, there's still a lot of questions in the economy and questions about the Federal Reserve. But also on foreign policy, I can't get too excited. Matter of fact, I get annoyed because I was more hopeful on that. And when you look at what Mattis and Tillerson's been doing, the plan is spend massively new money, even though we spend more than everybody else put together, more troops overseas, more conflict, more confrontation with Russia. So that's not very encouraging. But here we come along with the protection of liberties. We're in a perpetual war around the world. Most people see it, 17 years in Afghanistan and the Middle East. But I believe every time you go to war overseas, it can't help but the attitude will, you know, spill over in the war of being against the American people, even if it's just paying for these wars overseas. But this war on drugs is a direct confrontation to the liberties of American people. And it's something, unfortunately, or realistically speaking, was started by a Republican. You know, he was tough on crime, Richard Nixon. Yeah, tough on crime, Richard Nixon, but he had a few problems with, you know, following the rules too.
Yeah.
So the same way here, they want to be tough on crime, but I would like to figure out what we can suggest to make them understand that being tough on crime might include, you know, a token effort to obey the Constitution. That might be something for them to worth thinking about.
Here's a funny quote in Sessions' speech. This is two generations, full generations after Nixon's war on drugs was declared. I'm convinced this is a winnable war. 40 years, you know. But the only other thing, just taking apart some of the stuff he said, the other thing that's interesting is he really looks like he's going to be cracking down on doctors and even pretending to be the Surgeon General. He said, this nation is prescribing and consuming far too many painkillers.
No, and I've seen that happen in medicine. I've seen where nurses and doctors get terrified and they meticulously prevent people dying with cancer. It happened actually in our family. And the nurses were afraid to give the medication. And it was all this hysteria over the drugs because, well, if you give too much, you might lose your license. So it's the interference that is the big deal. Not only interference in, they shouldn't even be involved in medical care. But what about the interference with, there are crimes and difficulties in the sale of all products. There's a lot of fraud. Alcohol causes a lot of problems. But generally speaking, this was supposed to be a state issue, dealing with criminals and law and order and safety. That was a local issue. But there is no respect, no concern whatsoever. They want to militarize the whole thing. And that, of course, is why many police forces are over-militarized, even though they're quite a few trying to do the best they can, but also they're trying to enforce laws that shouldn't even be there. They should be ignoring this. They didn't learn one single thing about the tragic consequences of the prohibition of alcohol, and they just totally ignore it. And these drug warriors, I'd like to ask them if they drink wine, because if they are, they're total hypocrites if they do, because alcohol, you know, I understand alcohol kills 88,000 a year. Drugs are horrible, and they kill 55 thousand. A horrible mess, but a lot less. And then smoking, of course, is the worst thing. But they don't think they're going to stop all that. All you do is create the black market, and they're trying to solve a problem. It reminds me of terrorism. You know, we have to kill the terrorists. Well, why are they terrorists? Well, they're sick and tired of us bombing them. So we have these druggies here committing vicious crimes and doing all kind of things. So what we want to do is create more of them by making everything illegal and creating a black market and making and very lucrative. So the more we attack them, the worse the problem gets. And then just goes on and on. We fill up the criminal justice system goes to pot, but then we fill up the prisons too. And then they wonder, where's all the money going?
And I was going to ask you to put on your doctor's hat and react to this thing that he said. He says the DEA should, quote, make visits to physicians and pharmacies and do checks on those who prescribe or sell these drugs.
Unfortunately, they already do it, and it's more sinister. They don't march in with a pen and paper. Every doctor now in the system, some of my kids are in medicine now, but if they're remote and they have their cell phone and their pad, they can talk to a patient and they can call in a prescription, and it's recorded and it's delivered to the insurance company, to the government. All of it is available already. And he's just going to, use that more in saying that they're going to crack down on the doctors. And, of course, there are going to be doctors that are going to abuse things, but that's not the problem. Because if there's 100 doctors, seeming to prescribe too much, maybe one of them is doing it on the side to make a bundle, but the other 99 might be trying to help their patients. Then you have these mischief makers, these bureaucrats, these people who want to enforce the law coming in and dictating medical practice, and subtly it can affect medical practice by people wanting. I'm terrified. I don't want them knocking on my door. We caught you now, and they come marching in. They're terrified that. Nurses are intimidated. Oh, well, a patient may be dying of cancer, and they may be three. Oh, no, the doctor ordered 4 hours, And then even if you get the doctor's order, the nurses sometimes are hesitant, because if the patient is very sick and you give them an injection and the patient happens to die for other reasons, I mean, he can lose their license, all kinds of problems. And it's the subtleness, too, of the interference, in the practice of medicine. So that is a combination. And a lot of doctors are very, very much aware of it, very concerned. It inhibits the caretaking of terminal patients.
It's terrible. And he lashed out at violent crime. The cities are full of violent crime. We've got to crack down on illegal guns. But but he never puts two and two together and realizes that the rise in violent crime has to do with the drug war. And there's a little stat that I dug up. After the 21st Amendment was passed, ending prohibition in 1933, homicides in the country diminished for 11 years straight. The violence, the killing, and everything, once they got rid of that stupid law, it stopped.
Yeah, and that's what would happen here. I mean, even the states now that have legalized marijuana, the crime rate has gone down. Sessions wants to reverse that. He wants to charge in and say the federal government is superior. So this is a situation which, in a way, it can be very educational. Do the states have a right to nullify federal law? And the founders believed that. It was the states should have a final decision on this. This was a further protection against an intrusive federal government. But, of course, not too many follow that anymore, and that's the problem. And Obama was making an effort, but now they're coming down with a heavy hand of government. And an indication of which way we're going should be, not only at the president up here and who he's appointing, so he's responsible for this guy. But who does this guy pick? A guy named Stephen Kahn, or what was it? He was a vicious drug warrior prosecutor, and he's going to be the top dog on this. So it's Stephen Cook is his
Cook,
name.
Yeah.
But he has a reputation. He was a prosecutor for 30 years, and the prosecutors know they're in charge. They're in charge of the justice system, because what they do, if they get somebody that has this kind of a charge, They blow up the charges this big, and they're not the most reputable people. They're vulnerable, and the attorneys can't win these cases, so they plea bargain. And you know, I love the idea of jury nullification, and it's still available to us, but a lot of times these things don't even get to the jury, yeah, because there's always a deal made, and they say, we can't help you. You're the potential criminal, and we can't get you off, so you better plea bargain, because you're going to get 30 years instead of 10. You plea bargain, maybe they'll give you 5 years, and they do that, and then the prisons get filled up. And that's what's happened. That's why we have more prisoners because of the drug war than any other single country in the world.
Yeah, I think it's something like, isn't it less than 10% go to trial of these cases?
Yeah, so we don't really have a Department of Justice. It's a Department of Injustice, and it's a lot of intimidation that goes on. The worst kind of people to be in charge of this are the prosecutors. Because they feel like they're God. And, you know, the saying that really epitomizes this, that tells you how much power they have, they said a prosecutor could indict a ham sandwich, yeah, because you have no way to answer them. They march in there, and they have a grand jury, and they tell them this, 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 and this. This guy is a monster, and the grand juries are handpicked, and they roll over, and you can't answer back to them. And once you've been indicted, you know, it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough in this system. But sometimes they do the punishment. Not only these mandatory sentences are usually life sentences, and they're very often non-violent. But what about the taking of assets?
Yeah.
I mean, this is so horrible too. That's something that's keeps getting worse.
And he said there's a new directive coming to increase the federal government's use of civil asset forfeiture. And I found a nice quote from Reason magazine that explains why this is such a scam, you know, between the federal government and state and locals. Justice Department plays a huge role in asset forfeiture through its equitable sharing program, which allows state and local police to have their forfeiture cases adopted by the federal government. So the feds take over the case, the seized money is put into a pool, and then in return, the department gets up to 80% of those funds back. Equitable sharing program distributes hundreds of millions of dollars a year to police departments around the country.
The only thing that's equitable about this is the so-called equitable distribution of stolen wealth. You know, because they don't, the assets taken, an individual doesn't have to be proven of anything.
Or even charged.
No, they don't even have to be charged. They can come in. If somebody's in your automobile and you didn't know it, and they're in the back seat and they have drugs, they have, and theoretically, you know, can just take the car. The car committed the crime. And it's almost impossible to get it back again. And a lot of them, and I think you mentioned the number, $3 billion here in the last 10 years of asset forfeitures. So it's a big-time thing, and police, it's circumvented. Because they actually get given this. This doesn't go through the appropriation process.
They get the goodies.
So do they have a motivation to seize property? And then that opens up the door for corruption within the police departments, too. Are they saints? Yeah. If they seize, you know, a bundle of money and there's $10,000 there and they turn it in and there's only $8,000, I wonder if that ever could happen.
No. Here's a stat that I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have seen, but it astonishes me every time I read it. In 2014, for the first time ever, the U.S. government seized more property from Americans than burglars did.
Oh, wow.
So they're doing even better than the crooks that they're supposed to be out catching.
You know, when Sessions finished his speech the other day, he concluded by praising all the prosecutors and the district attorneys, is that for their noble work. And I got to thinking, noble, yeah, there's so much nobility in government. I think somebody at one time talked about the noble lie.
Yeah.
And that's what this is, noble work based on a noble lie that they're going to make the world safe from drinking alcohol. And, of course, they're not working on that. But if anybody even verges on the slightest bit of consistency, they would have to be taken back to the teens and arguing for the prohibition of alcohol. And more or less, most people say, No, no. And the other thing that happened in prohibition of alcohol, because it's illegal, the more concentrated and powerful it is, the better, because you have to transport it and hide it. That's what's happening to the drugs. The other day, even in our local area here, somebody died from synthetic marijuana. Mm. Why would anybody die from synthetic marijuana? I mean, he has to be a little bit deranged, but it's the laws that do this. Maybe if weeds were allowed to be grown in his backyard, he wouldn't go out mixing chemicals, trying to imitate this thing, this whole mess that the government created. But, you know, this is drugs that we're talking about. But really, the subject is, who should protect us from taking any risk? You know, this is a risk. You eat too much, you drink too much, you take too many drugs, you get killed by automobiles. Everything is a risk. And, you know, it's in the proposal of medical care and insurance. Everything is risk. Nobody assumes that they're responsible for their own risk, that the government will take care of them. So these guys think that I am a noble servant. People don't know how to protect themselves against risk, and I will take care of them. And they create this thing, and I imagine they can't be this vile. They have to be just stupid, you know, to say that I'm going to take care of people and protect them against themselves. You know, if you carry this over, how do you protect people against themselves? The two things that probably has driven a lot of violence throughout history, and that has been the distortion of religion and the distortion of philosophy. I mean, do you think Hitler just pops out of the clear blue? No. Or does Stalin pop out of the clear blue? Or was there a Lenin? You know, it's that theory behind there. So that is, if you do this physically and Reagan wants to make us better person and healthier people, it always leads to controlling what we read. And look at what they do in our schools, not only our university, grade school, the intimidation, the indoctrination, it's just horrible. So the message is, what we need is not more Jeff Sessions. We need more liberty, and I don't know what your opinion is of what we should do here, but...
You know, as I was reading this whole thing, the one thing that struck me is, where is the opposition party? This is an authoritarian manifesto, the speech was. Where is the opposition party? Where is the Democratic Party fighting for our civil liberties, fighting against this overreach? They're obsessed with Russiagate. They're obsessed with whether Don Jr. met with this guy or that guy. This is what they should be doing, and I think they're going to suffer at the polls unless they wake up and realize what their role should be.
Yeah, and I think there's way too much bipartisanship, and sometimes as much as they fight, I think they get together and they do this fighting because they don't want to deal with the war overseas, the war against the American people, the war against our privacy. The founders thought this through, and they always assumed the federal government would get too big, and that's why they wanted states to be independent states, and if the federal government got overbearing, that they could nullify these laws and rule them out of order and not follow them. Well, that hasn't worked very well. And then, of course, they also believe strongly in jury nullification. If the federal government, all the way from the Congress up to the president and the courts, if they fail to protect our liberties, the people are supposed to protect them. But the big problem there right now is the judicial system is so corrupt, they don't even allow many of these cases to get to court. But jury nullification shouldn't be dead. Many years ago, I did a video on this in my foundation, and it goes over this subject, but there's very few people who talk about it and understand it. But ultimately, people ought to read and understand what jury nullification is. Occasionally, we hear a story about somebody being, you know, holding out and getting somebody off, from a crime that they shouldn't have been charged with. So that is an answer. So it's one thing that we should do. But ultimately, it's the respect for liberty and the understanding of the Constitution. These people are preaching law and order. I'd like them to do one thing. Follow the law and order when they take their oath of office to follow the Constitution. That would be a big help to all of us. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.